Welcome to Dating for Marriage.
My name is Lori Kaz.
And I'm Hannah Green. And together we're going to share our perspectives on dating.
So you can have quick wins, date ideas, and some fun.
All while looking for your happily ever after. All right. Hey, Lori, how's it going? How has your week been?
It's been going well. What about you?
It's been a busy time. I know that we haven't had a podcast come out in a while, and just like life going back, like getting started back from, you know, kind of with all the like vaccines being distributed, it having nice weather, life has just gotten so much busier. And I'm sure you probably feel the same.
Yeah, it's been so nice. Yeah.
So nice.
The weather has really like helps you see things in a different light after all of this. It's been so nice.
For sure. And then being vaccinated, it gives you hope because it's like, oh, the weather's nice. And now I can go out and I can go inside. I can eat on patios because I'm still choosing to eat on patios because why wouldn't I choose to eat on a patio? But especially
patio
when
dining.
Right, especially when we spent the whole winter eating and like staying inside. Nobody wants to be doing that. But yeah, it's been busy, but great. But before we get started here, I just wanted to give you some updates. And I'm first going to start with things that I've seen on the dating apps or something like that, like we always do. I do want to go back to the last podcast. This is just my personality, but I want to clarify something. I talked about going on that first date and then like leaving before they were paid, that the thing was paid. Well, I forgot the worst part. And this is what made it bad, is that the guy talked about conspiracy theories the whole time. Oh. Like, and so it was just all those like things that like the moon landing wasn't real or this or that. And that's what he told me all dinner. So I just had to get out of there. And so I feel like I had to like redeem myself. I'm only feeling that way because that's just the way I thought. And I thought about it after the fact and I wanted to give you the real reason why it was completely awkward. And not only because he doesn't drink or anything else, but meanwhile, he's telling me about all the conspiracy theories that he believes. So, you know, it was just kind of crazy. But I do want to come up with, like, I will say that both Bumble and Hinge, actually, mm-hmm. after the Asian hate crimes that have been going around, they both came out with statements saying that it won't be tolerated on their platform. So yay. I think that was really great. You know, it's a small thing, you know, just by putting out a statement, but at least they did something. So I really liked that. Yeah. Yeah. I liked seeing
that's amazing.
And on both of the apps, it popped up right away. So there was no way for you to not see it. So that was nice to see. Another thing that I come across with profiles often is the men like to put in that they were ex-college athletes or former college athletes. Like, they love putting that in their profile. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's like something that turns me off because I definitely like myself a college athlete, but I just think it's funny how almost all of them, if they were a college athlete, they put it in there and they also include like if they were Division One or like a bigger like platform, like college athlete. Okay. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm like, you know, so close to Ohio State, like half the time I'm thinking they were Ohio State football players or something, but it could be any college. That's the thing. Like they put that they're an ex-college athlete, even if they played like the lowest low, whatever. But I just think that it's funny when I see that in a profile, not saying it's good or bad, but it just makes me laugh every time.
It's interesting too that they're drawing all the way back to their college experience and not the current experience.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But I bet it was a big part of their life. And like I said, I'm not gonna turn down a college athlete, but or an ex-college athlete, but it just is funny to see that in there. Well, so I actually have gone on 2 dates. I went on one last week and one this week. They both were very nice, but nothing. I just didn't feel like it was second.
No chemistry.
Date. Yeah, no chemistry. It was just not enough for me. But there was, I'll tell you two things that happened. The first one, he said, you know, we exchanged thank you text messages, blah, blah, blah. I was the last person to text him. I guess we both kind of ghosted each other, but I didn't, like, I probably should have gone back and followed up. But I really think that he would, if he would have, like, he didn't reach back out either. So I think it was kind of just like a wash. But in my mind, I didn't ghost him because I responded to his text message and then he never responded back. So I guess he ghosted me. I don't know. I don't even know whether it's ghosting, but he put me a friend request on Facebook. And I'm just like, what the heck? I hate it when they do that, especially if it's before I've even met you or if I've only been on one date with you. But Facebook is like my private space. Huh. Like, I don't know.
So maybe you're going to still hear from him if he Facebook friended you.
Well, I didn't accept it.
Yeah.
I mean, but
you're just not feeling it.
Well, this is my thing with the Facebook stuff. I have a lot of public people on my Instagram. I put like my whole life on Instagram. There's no reason for you to be friends with me on Facebook because first of all, I don't really put a lot on Facebook anymore, but also that's where I put pictures of my family. That's where I put like tag people that I'm really close with. I don't want them seeing that stuff. Like, especially if I barely know you, it's more of a safety thing. Mm-hmm. I think I don't want you to be my Facebook friend. So
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think like he already followed me on Instagram. So I feel like you already follow me on Instagram. We don't need to be Facebook friends too.
So interesting. I wonder if you're going to hear back from him at some point now.
Maybe. I don't know.
Would you go back out with him if he asked you?
Probably not. There just wasn't any chemistry.
Chemistry. Okay. That's fair.
Same with the other guy. But I will say, like,
did you like him though? Did you like his personality?
Not. I mean, that's kind of what was turning me off. So.
Okay. So, yeah, hey, you know what? You tried. You know.
Yes, so. I did. I will say that I think kissing on the first date, which I did not do because I was a little paranoid still with COVID, even though I know that I'm okay. And I know that like, I'm not going to get it or anything. Like, I think that there would have to be a really, really good connection for me to kiss somebody on the first date for the first time in like over a year since having this whole virus going around.
I think like, that's fair.
It's a little intimidating to me and I was freaking out about it like for the whole date. I don't know. Not the whole date, but like towards the end, I was getting really nervous and it was probably, and I blame it on COVID. Like, I don't think it was the fact that I was nervous if he was going to try to kiss me or not, but I think it was just like, I haven't kissed anyone in a long time or touched anyone really. Like I'm starting to hug my mom again. And it's just like is just going to take a lot to overcome.
I think a lot of people have post-traumatic stress syndrome right now. I mean, and everybody has a right to feel that way. So definitely ease in and don't feel that pressure that you need to. Take the pressure, try to not think about that. Cause I think everybody has to be somewhat understanding.
Right. And I think, I just think like that was not a thing that I thought was something I was going to have to get over. You know, like I think it adds another layer to this dating in COVID times or dating after the pandemic or after getting your vaccine or something like that, that it's not easy. And I think that's like just adds a whole nother part of it. To it. Yes. So I just thought that feeling was interesting for me to have because it wasn't necessarily something I anticipated having.
Yeah. Are you getting the vibe though, as you're meeting these people, it's becoming like maybe like the new roaring 20s. Again, people are definitely more open and getting out again.
Not from either of the guys that I just went out on a date with. They apparently okay. didn't stop going out.
Okay, that's interesting too.
Both of them had had COVID, and so that probably was also something that was like panicking me too. And I mean, I am not judging that they had COVID or anything. I mean, maybe just a little, but I know everybody's situation is different, and that the decisions that people made were not easy. And so I think that also puts a little bit of
it makes you question them and like what their values are in terms of safety. And I could understand that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to, I will say that it's a it's especially because I've been so safe that looking at, and I have friends that have had COVID, and that is, I haven't really experienced it that much for that. So, let me tell you that we did talk about somebody asking, why are you still single? That comes a lot from people that I date, which that is mm-hmm. a big one. But I think one thing that really bothers me is when I have friends that are married and I'm talking to them and they're like, well, you're just still so young. You'll find somebody. You're still young. And I look at them and I'm like, I'm 37. Like, I mean, a lot of times they're the same age as I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe they're looking at me as in like, they're like, oh, this girl has this single life and she's just living life. And man, she's still young and free kind of thing. Whereas they're married and have kids. So maybe they're looking at it that way, but yes, you're still young. You still have time. When I was in high school, I forget who told me this, but this was a big thing. This was kind of something that started the narrative that I made for myself, was that I was marriage material. And either my family member said something, or maybe one of my friends, or maybe a guy in high school, I don't know, somebody said something to me in high school, and I got it stuck in my mind that I was marriage material. And so I wasn't going to be like the other people and date all around and sleep all around and all that stuff. I was marriage material. So I think mm-hmm. like that was something that started and affected the way I thought. Like, and what I maybe held me back a little bit, because I was just like, oh, well, I'm the person that they're going to marry, not the person that they're going to be dating all the time. They're going to date those other people, and then they're going to end up marrying me. Like, that's what I told myself. So
interesting.
I'm not sure. I know somebody at some point told me that in high school, but it carried on until college. I have a family member that has said several times that something is wrong with you. Something must be wrong with you. You need to go to therapy.
Mm-mm.
And so that also has really, messed with my self-confidence and mind, especially coming from somebody that's a family member.
Of course. No, that's a very hurtful thing to say to someone.
Yes. And then I think we all love, it'll happen when you least expect it.
Oh yeah. I used to hate the one. This is the one I would get a lot. You'll meet someone when you stop looking. I absolutely hate that one, because that is a lie. It could not be further from the truth. People meet people when they're looking, and when they're not looking, I think it's better to be looking, because at least you know what you want and you're ready for someone.
Well, I guess what is looking? Because back 5 or 6 years ago, looking could have been different than is looking actively going out and doing things and not just sitting at home, or is looking being on the apps and doing things, or is it a combination of both? What is actively looking?
So I think actively looking is, doing a combination of both of what you talked about, being on the apps, going and doing activities and looking. I do think there's a difference between looking and being obsessed with love, right? Because when you're obsessed, it's usually out of fear and anxiety that you're afraid that you're going to end up alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that, you know, definitely at one point, I think I did get a little obsessive when I was single about, you know, being alone.
I feel like I've gone through that as well.
Yeah. But then I got over it, where to the point where I'm like, I'm so happy being alone. I just want to meet somebody who's going to compliment me and want to share a fun life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it definitely changed from being obsessed to looking. So I think there's definitely a difference there.
Okay. Yes, I agree.
And I think it's healthy to be looking. I mean, I think people, like, they tend to pick up on your vibe, right? And if you act like you're not looking and you're not interested, why are they going to be interested in you?
For you know? Sure.
And then also just being prepared, like, you know, like I always say, know your non-negotiables, know what you're willing to accept and not accept. So when somebody does come along, you know, you're not wasting your time.
True. That's true.
Another one that used to bother me, I think a good friend of mine said this to me at one point, and I was older. I was probably 35. I think it was right before I met my husband. You could be married by now, but you choose not to be. That's a tough one to swallow.
That is a tough one.
So,
yeah.
I just think people have to be more aware of what they say to their friends and say to their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely, I feel like we need to share some of the things that our audience members.
Oh, wait, I have one more.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I don't think we said this, but like a lot of times when I'm talking, commiserating with my friends or something, they just say, I just know your person's out there. I know you're going to find them. All going to work out. It's going to happen for you. It's discouraging, I guess.
I remember hearing that one a lot. Yeah, I can. You're just because you're at this point, you're just frustrated, and sometimes instead of people saying things, you just want them to listen to you. You know, you want to just be able to, I think, vent.
Yeah,
and you know, and we'll get into more of this. I have a couple articles I found that I thought were helpful, but, you know,
well,
should we go ahead and share some of the things our audience members shared? Some of these are so good and funny.
Yeah. Why don't we take turns reading them? Okay. And then I'll you do the first one and then we can kind of, you know, we can talk about it or whatever.
Yeah. So hang in there. And I might say this to people as I'm coaching them, and I don't mean for it to sound any kind of a way, just FYI, because sometimes I think, not that I forget, but now that I'm on the other side and married, I'm trying to just be encouraging. Yeah. And I think instead I just need to zip it and just, you know, let them talk and that's it. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Right. You need to, you know, you're okay to feel the way you feel. And I think just giving people permission to feel their feelings is helpful. It's, you know, it's validating for them. And it would be it's validating for me.
So why don't you date someone from work? I like this question as well, because I am a teacher. And until I started working in a high school, there are not very many male options at schools. And also, I used to be very against dating another teacher. I'm a little more open to it now, but I was not into dating another teacher. I wanted somebody in a completely different field. So,
I think
that one. And plus, who wants to do that? Like that makes everything awkward.
Yeah. If it doesn't work out, it's like, you know, Bridget Jones's Diary, where you're stuck working, you know, and you're like, oh, somebody's either got to quit or leave. And why put yourself in that position, especially if you have a successful career?
Not that it doesn't happen. I know it happens all the time.
Yeah. But
for me, this question is normally not relevant because I don't have a lot of male options there.
I never had any male options really in the fashion industry. So I can relate.
True.
Keep putting yourself out there. I mean, I say this one a lot too to people, but it's really just encouraging them, because there were so many times I gave up and I took over long periods of breaks. And it was basically because nobody really encouraged me. So I tried to do it out of encouragement, but I can see where that can be annoying to people, especially, you know, when you've been, you're on like date 1,000.
Yes. So that could go with, you know, there are plenty of fish in the sea.
Yes. Oh, yes. That sounds like something like an uncle would say.
Yeah. I feel like I this is like triggering another thought for me, but I can't quite grasp what that other thought is that's similar to this question, but, or this statement, but yeah, it's like, yeah, there's lots of fish, but there's not always, not every fish is going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. This one I just think is mean, and like, why stress somebody out already that's stressed? Do you want to have kids? You better get on it. Like, that's unnecessary. Come on.
Yeah. It's especially if you're saying it to a woman, then
you know,
it's not, it's, I mean, it could be detrimental to a man as well, but I feel like for women, especially, I would say this is definitely an off limits one.
Yeah.
Because it would definitely put more pressure, especially coming from like a family member, which I'm sure this is what the family member was, where it came from.
Yeah.
Well, this next one is definitely something I've never had somebody say this to me, but it would be very triggering for me, especially at this point in my life. Maybe if you lost some weight.
I think that's such a judgy thing to say to someone. And I'm just going to say this, you know, as someone who's coaching people, I don't think you need to be stick thin, you know, do crazy things to yourself to find love or be loved. And you want to meet someone who's going to accept you the way you are. And that is just so unnecessary to say to somebody, especially in 2021.
Yes. And I feel like it, I mean, I just look around, like, and that's one thing that I started doing, honestly, when I've been struggling with my body image, is just looking around and noticing other people's body shapes. And most of the time, you know, couples are, I mean, we've all seen that couple that we've questioned how they even go together.
Yeah. But
they do. And the best part is that they love each other. And so that I feel like that, when I really started being more aware of what other people looked like and seeing how other people presented themselves, I think that made me feel a little bit more confident about how I looked. So I think, again, this is another question that would be off the table. You should never say something about the way that people look.
Yeah, never. And not only that, I mean, this, when you end up with somebody, you're going to age, right? I'm sorry. The one thing that attracted me the most, my husband, is his personality. Everything else kind of just faded. So I really think it's about personality and chemistry at the end of the day. So try not to get so hung up on looks with people, you know, just give everyone a fair shot, because really at the end of the day, you're both going to age. Nobody's going to look, you know, like they're 20.
I am going to say, I have a problem. And I with teeth, though. I mean, I don't think I would ever say to somebody, maybe if you straightened your teeth, or maybe if you like took better care of your teeth, I would never say that to somebody. But I know, to me, that weight isn't necessarily an issue, but like,
well, things that you
teeth
things
could be,
because I mean, you definitely, you want to look your best, right? You definitely want to put your best foot forward. So I would say, yeah, those things I can kind of relate to in terms of, you know, teeth, you know, making sure your shirt isn't wrinkled when you go out.
I mean, I'm okay with a wrinkled shirt, but maybe just making sure you smell nice and not aren't like wearing dirty clothes or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you do want to put some effort. I'm just saying that it doesn't have to be so superficial and so fake.
Exactly.
You know, at the end of the day, this person does need to wake up next to you and know it's, you know, it's you and not everything you're camouflaging with fake whatever. Right.
All right. So the next one, are you gay? And then to go along with that is that there's also people that have said you hang out with too many gay people. So therefore you're not attracting straight people. So, I mean, again, I think it's probably, this is probably coming from a family member.
Probably. That's really insulting.
It is. It's insulting to, honestly, both gay people and to the person that they're telling it to. So
exactly.
It's not something that should be said at all.
Let's see. The next one. Are you looking in the right places? Oh, boy. I do say certain, you know, there are certain places maybe better than others, but like we've talked about before, you can really meet anybody at any time, any place. That's such an absurd thing to say to somebody. Give me a break.
It is. It is. Unless they would, I mean, came back with some options that they thought were the right places, but that's not a great one.
It makes the person feel probably stupid, right? Like you're questioning their intelligence, which I hate people. There's certain people who do these things for a reason, which we'll get into.
Okay, maybe you will meet somebody when we are out tonight. And this was said to somebody when she's going out with her girlfriends, just enjoy herself. And she was kind of like, I don't always, just because I'm going out doesn't mean I'm always looking to meet somebody then. I mean, if it happens, it happens, I'm sure. But she was like, there can be times when I just want to go out and enjoy myself that I don't always have to be out in the crowd.
No, amen. Amen. That's ridiculous. This one was contractors ask if their non-existent husband wanted to help them decide when to buy or how to buy a house. Like, I got that one.
So people just assume that because you're buying something that's a large purchase, that there are other people there to make the decision. I think like that doesn't really relate to dating that much, but it's like just a comment about being single and how women often.
Like we can't make decisions.
Right.
That's really demeaning. Right. And super unnecessary, especially in this day and age with the women having, you know, successful careers, being independent.
I agree. I will say my brother went with me once to buy a car when I was right out of college, and he was probably like 18 or something, and they totally assumed that we were married, and he was not. He was way more upset about that than I was. I was just like, well, no, he's just my brother here to help me. But he was like, I can't believe they're thinking we're married, because we do look a lot alike. The next one, a family member again said, when would she get her Mrs. degree after she was telling them that she was focusing on her education. So their response was, well, when are you going to get your Mrs. degree? And that is a very old school thing to say, because I think
definitely
back in the 50s and 60s, I think that's why women went to college, honestly, to find somebody to get married.
Yeah, no, just again, unnecessary comments in this day and age. The next one was, what are the apps like?
Yeah, I think this one was like, because a lot of times the people that aren't single are very curious about the apps. So they probably want to know what the apps are like. But in reality, you could probably argue that maybe they're also saying that maybe you're swiping on the wrong person, or maybe you're choosing the wrong people, or...
Yeah, it could be, in all fairness to that person too, maybe they never really had a chance to date and they just happened to meet somebody. I mean, one of my girlfriends married the first guy she ever really dated and had been with. I mean, which is kind of, I feel like, unheard of today. But she never online dated. So I think sometimes people just don't know, and they're just so curious because they missed, you know, that portion of their dating journey, I guess. And I'll, you know, just looking at both sides.
I haven't been told this next thing, but I feel like sometimes it could possibly be, but guys are just intimidated by you. I think a lot of times guys are also intimidated by women who are successful. So,
yeah, I mean, it can be like that, but I feel like things have changed so much that, you know, men are, you know, want somebody who's going to be successful. They don't want somebody who's just going to be like the housewife anymore. I think it really depends, I guess, you know, on someone's, what the, you know, what they're individually looking for. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I have had, like, I've had friends' husbands tell me before when I was single, you know, you have to put down your jacket collar. This look is very intimidating for a man. Okay, fair enough. I mean, thanks for your feedback. You know,
right.
I do think sometimes things like that can be constructive, I guess.
Or they're intimidated by maybe the girl is louder, like, or more outgoing or more independent. So yeah, it could be a lot of things that they could be referencing about that.
Definitely. These are all, I think, good points.
Yes.
What was the next one? This one is a good one too. Assume we are married and then act awkward when we're not.
Kind of like you did with me.
Oh, I mean, no.
You didn't act awkward, but you were like, oh, I totally thought you were married.
I did. I thought you were married. I remember that. I remember saying that to you because I couldn't believe you. Yeah. I mean, just because, and I mean this in a very positive, like, this to me, it's a compliment when people would say this to me. I just think you're such a catch. That's why,
yeah,
I said that. Seriously. Well, I do. I think you're such a catch. And I was just like, oh, okay. But that was it.
I get it.
You know, I think and a lot of times when people used to say this to me, I would definitely probably take it. Like I said, I never took these questions in the best way. I was pretty defensive. I would take it as like they're criticizing me or something's wrong with me, but sometimes they weren't, you know, and I just wasn't able to see that side until, you know, I think after I, you know, ended up settling down and realizing they weren't, you know, they weren't doing it in a mean way. But let's be honest, there are people that do things in mean ways.
Yes. There was one more, actually, I think that we skipped over, but it says this was when people are talking about finding the one, they often make it seem like there's this like magical unicorn out there. Like it's just like this huge magical, the one type thing. And I totally feel that. And I think I've definitely gotten past finding the unicorn or the one. It's more just like finding someone that I enjoy.
Yeah. No, agreed. Agreed. But I could see that people. But I think, I mean, just kind of going back to, you know, all these points, I think we all know someone in our lives, like you mentioned, a family member, a friend, that just, you know, gives advice when they're not asked. And, you know, they don't necessarily know we're struggling at the time with things or we're working on something, you know, and like, you know, you've been very vocal that, you know, this summer, you're really focusing on your dating life, but some people aren't always aware of, you know, these things. And I think it's hard to.
Yeah. And they don't know what you've gone through or done before then.
Yeah.
Also,
and they just, you know, and they make a lot of assumptions, right? And that's part of the reason why things can be hurtful. And you may, honestly, sometimes you don't even want to hear their opinion, right? Because they don't know what you've been through. What could they possibly offer you in terms of advice and help?
Right.
And it's just crazy. But, you know, just kind of going through and just doing some research, right? There are, you know, common reasons why people give unsolicited advice and how we can kind of understand the motives and examine, you know, where their words might be coming from. So I found this article. It's called Types of Unsolicited Advice That Cause Stress. It's by Elizabeth Scott, and it was reviewed by Carly Snyder, who is a doctor. And I thought it just had just some good pointers, right?
Right.
Like people who, you know, have helpful motives, right, with their opinions. And right. Like some of those comments, I think we spotted already, and you know the reasons why they're giving them. One was somebody who's altruistic, in sharing their advice, and I guess that really stems from them feeling that they need some validation or emotional support, so they assume, you know, people are looking to them for the answers, right? Mm-hmm. So they offer their advice because they feel an internal pressure to provide answers.
Right.
So I think that was kind of helpful, right? So you don't feel like, oh, this person's just being an asshole.
Well, I think that probably comes from a lot from friends, because often our friends are who we go to for, like, even just to tell like stories to or something. And I think oftentimes as a friend, you feel like you need to give advice back that would be helpful.
Right. Yeah. And there's one again, it's strictly friendliness. It could be like a stranger, right, who just, you know, wants to start a friendly conversation. And they just feel like maybe that's the best way to start a conversation, by giving their two cents. I mean, I guess I think this has happened to me a couple times being out and about. And then also a friend, again, just, you know, wanting to give advice to forge a connection with you.
Yeah. Right. Because that's what you're doing when you're friends.
Yeah. And then the next one was excitement. Sometimes, you know, someone has had something very similar happened to them that was very, very challenging, and they found something that worked for them, so they wanted to share it with the world. Sometimes I mean in the past, and you know, probably frequently in some of my sessions, maybe I've been overexcited to share things that have worked for me.
No, I've been the same.
But
not,
you know,
with not dating though.
Yeah,
not with dating,
but like, just, you know, it's not necessarily, you know, I'm thinking it's going to work for them or be their solution, or I'm giving them advice. Just kind of, I guess I'm excited to kind of share my experience with them and, you know, let them, you know what, you know, you tried, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much to be like, oh, I know it all.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And then there's the less helpful motives on this article, the neediness. You know, some people, you know, offer their advice out of their own neediness.
Right. That they might need some advice, mm-hmm. or feel like they need help with what's going on.
Yeah. Or they're also not doing it for you, but for themselves.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like that's some of my family members.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough to handle. I mean, I know I've been there. Some of mine for sure. Helplessness was another one that came up. Sometimes I guess when you're sharing your feelings and frustrations with a friend, you know, they want to be motivated to help you solve your problem, so they kind of view you as being helpless in a sense when they're giving you advice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really just kind of want their support. I've
right
had that happened to me before, and it can be hurtful.
Right, or to tell you that you're doing something right.
Yeah.
That you're just looking for the validation that you need to hear. Although I have had a family member tell me that your friends often just tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear.
Mm.
So the validation that you're looking for, they say, is not really truthful, which I disagree with, but you know.
Yeah, no, I it depends on the friend, but I think most friends aren't going to sit back and just deny if they think that, you know, they can offer you any feedback or support that's constructive.
Right. Yeah, but so yes, but if they're looking at us as helpless, then they're just, then that's like the more negative feeling towards us, when really that's might not be what we're looking for.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then this next ones are very unhelpful motives.
Okay.
And these are almost like, I feel like, emotionally abusive, right? There's like the narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to be like in the role of the teacher.
Right.
You know, constantly giving you advice and making you kind of feel a certain way.
Or their advice is the only thing, is the best. Mm-hmm. And it is the, like, they know, because it, they know what's best for you.
Yeah,
like type thing.
Yeah, they're the dominance, that's kind of goes along with that as well, like the person that's, you know, more knowledgeable person. And then we always have this one, the judgment. This is somebody who's, you know, being very judgy with you. Like, for example, I think that weight comment was too, like, right, beyond, like, why are you judging?
Right.
Like, how could you find that to be helpful to someone?
Right. Exactly.
And then, you know, there's always drama, right? Some people just love conflict. They love hearing themselves argue and get a feeling of, you know, that personal power of telling others what they're doing wrong.
Yeah.
So it's sad, but it, you know, I like at the end of this article, it says, you know, setting boundaries to limit what you share with certain people. So, you know, you don't end up in these situations. I guess I never thought of that before when I was, you know, dating and single, setting some more of those boundaries, because all of this stuff is really stressful. I mean, these are, like, you're already in it and feeling the pressure. So there's really, like, no need for them to go a step further.
Well, and I think the boundaries help you, because you're really, like, if you're setting up boundaries, it's not really against the person, but you're protecting yourself by setting up the boundaries. You're, because honestly, like, I do have, set up the boundaries, and for some people in my life, and it's more for myself than for them, because I know that if they keep telling me, or if I keep sharing things, then they're going to, you know, they're going to just keep, it's just going to keep messing with my mental health. And that's not going to help me. Like, this is the thing, like, I really do feel like if people are constantly telling you these things, or especially the ones that we talked about that were more negative, if people are constantly saying that these things to you, then it's going to affect your dating. It's going to affect how you present yourself on the dates. It's going to affect your confidence. It's going to affect maybe the types of people that you choose to go on dates with. And honestly, I want to do a podcast that talks about all of my history, but, like, I honestly think because of a lot of these things that happened, and that's why I am where I am now, because I have internalized a lot of what people said, and I take it personally, and I sometimes try to take it constructively, and I think it's worn me down, and I just think at some point I, you know, lost the self-confidence that I had. And I don't think that helps me at all, you know?
No. Mm-mm. And this is the thing, and this is it at the end of the day, no one has all the answers, right? No matter what they say, they don't know your unique experience. They don't know what you've been through. They can't assume, even though they try to.
Right.
So we have to always remember, and because I still get a lot of unsolicited advice, even now that I'm married now, it's, do you have children? Are you going to have children? It never ends. I feel like it always becomes like a cycle, no matter what, where you are in your life. I try not to let those things, and I mean, now being on the other side a little bit more, bother me,
because nobody knows everything, right? And also, I feel like sometimes people, when they're asking and doing these things, it's kind of stemming from things they've been through, right?
Right.
And it's their issues that are coming up and not necessarily yours.
Right.
So I just really loved this article. I thought it was great. And we can definitely, you know, share it in our footnotes of the episode if people want to go back and read the whole thing. There's also another good one, just to kind of go through 75 things single people wish you'd stop saying.
Yeah, I was kind of looking through that.
And it's a lot of the things we brought up again.
A lot of them.
Yeah. But I kind of just went into a little bit more detail and why, you know, it's really not helpful to say those things again.
Right.
So just some validation for everybody feeling a certain way when people share this stuff.
Right. I think like we definitely all need to think about what we say to people when we're trying to give them advice, really about anything. It doesn't even matter about dating. It's not even about just dating, but like you got to really think about it. Why are you giving them advice? Where is this coming from? And is it going to be helpful or hurtful?
I couldn't agree more with you.
So it's just so important.
I think so too. You know, just some things I was thinking about, you know, instead of, you know, bringing up, you know, unwanted advice, you know, what can you do to come across less annoying? You know, maybe say, you know, how can I help? Is there anything I can do to, you know, help you?
I like that.
Yeah. So just next time you want to give somebody, you know, your two cents about whatever, you know, have a little bit more empathy, you know, instead of just sharing your opinion.
I agree. I think offering help.
And then the other one is, you know, sometimes I think as like with our loved ones and our friends, we want to fix situations for them. Mm-hmm. And we just offer up advice when really, you know, people just, they want to vent and they just want somebody to listen. That's all. Sometimes you just need a good listener.
Yes.
So fun all these things kind of, just kind of came into my head.
Sometimes you need a wing woman or a wing man.
Yes, that's all you need. Somebody to be there to support you and maybe see some things that you're not seeing at the time.
Or
to bridge the gap.
Yeah, or maybe like, you know, a great way to help would be like maybe going on a shopping spree with them and helping them pick out date outfits. Like that's a great way to help without being, you know, overly... without offering up unsolicited advice, offer to come over and help them pick out, get together a couple date outfits or show them how to style their hair. Although
exactly.
Or, you know, put on makeup for women. It's just like that. Or, you know, take pictures for their dating profile, help them find good ones.
Absolutely. You know, get some champagne and do like a photo session with them and have some fun and some laughs. By the way, I love all of these things. These are all like, I think good things.
Yeah.
And for good things, good friends do for good friends. I know when I was single, I definitely had some really good girlfriends who did those types of things for me. So that brings up some good memories.
Yeah. I had a lot of single friends in Florida and we would often do that for each other. So it's something that I'm a little bit missing up here, but
I will nice do any of the above for you anytime, Hannah. It would be my pleasure.
Well, I'll let you know. I'm working on it. I am trying to get my summer wardrobe ready, but we'll just end it at that. I need my summer wardrobe needs to be ready and I don't have any idea. So
I'm going to say this, what summer wardrobe? I don't even know what a wardrobe looks like anymore except sweatpants and t-shirts.
True.
Oh, it's getting back into life.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So what quick wins do you have for us today?
So, I you know, just going back to the articles that, you know, shared, you know that some, you know, understand people's motives. So you, you know, don't take their unsolicited advice to heart too much. You don't let it play on your, you know, subconscious too much, you know, you know, just take it too personal, because sometimes people has nothing to do with you. That's the sad part about, you know, someone putting in their two cents when you haven't asked them.
Right.
And then I think also be ready to answer those loaded questions, like, why are you still single? And I would do it with some humor and some wit.
I need to get that written out.
Yeah, I definitely would come up with some responses to that. You know, I always like, I like that one, like I saw one and it went back to like the Clueless movie with Cher, and she's like, you see how picky I am about my shoes, can you imagine how I feel about my, about what a man is going to bring, you know, things like that, like cute little like references, you know, just to throw people off guard. You know, and try not to take the things people say to you as criticism, because I feel like a lot of times when people would say certain things to me, I took it so bad and too hard that they were just criticizing me and trying to tear me apart, when, you know, some of the, you know, I guess advice they shared or things they wanted to tell me, they just wanted to help, right? But again, I think it goes back to, you know, just like looking at all those motives,
right?
And then also try not to be too defensive in your answers, because I think sometimes it can come off, you know, especially if it's like someone you're on a date with, as a red flag to them, like you're like afraid, you're, you know, being vulnerable. So just, you know, try to be a little bit like laxed. And also, I mean, I think if somebody asks you a question, like, what are you looking for? Give it right back to them. It's only fair.
Of course.
It's only fair.
I agree.
And then somebody mentioned their friends not wanting to set them up with other single friends they knew that were each other's. And I just want to say this. So I have some single guy friends, but I would never set them up with you because they are awful. They are not good enough for you.
Yeah.
And I mean, hey, I'm more than welcome to do introductions with people, but if I think people are not right for people and people are not good for people, I'm not going to waste your time. And just, I remember being single, and I, at one point I lived with a couple guys, and I was always like, why won't you guys set me up with your friends? Because they, you know, had very successful jobs. They're accountants. They worked on Wall Street. And they're like, I would never want you to date any of the people I work with. They are terrible human beings.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I have, like, there are some people that I got set up with friends, and honestly, they were the most successful of the relationships that I've had. But yeah, I think that there is a reason always that they're not setting you up with friends. So
yeah,
don't take it personally if that happens.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely don't take it personally. There's definitely a reason behind that. But hey, if you can help a friend, help a friend. Because I think that's the best, if somebody can set you up and they think it would be a nice connection.
I agree. Well, I think this has been a really great podcast, and I love how everybody contributed. We had so many people contribute. So thank you if you reached out to us and gave us some information about what you've been told when you were single. I really like that. So, but until next time, happy dating.
Happy dating.